If you can't make a week, or a month, sorry. If you can't make a month, it's fine. It'll be recorded. And then you can just ask Brianna or even Luke, who's sitting right here, where that would go to, or even Brian. So that way you can...
Luke.
Yeah, ask Luke. Just ask Luke. Is that close enough?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it recording?
Yep.
We're good. Okay.
Audio's not available on time for Monday afternoon.
Yeah. Audio not available until Monday afternoon. Got it. Can this go in my pocket?
It will. Just be careful.
That's yeah, we're just going to put it right here. Yeah, we're going to put it right here. So, anyway, so it will be recorded. So you're able to go back and listen to it if you want to. This is, as Brian said, it is a series. So it's not like a series you would binge watch on Netflix, but it is going to intertwine with each other. It's just stuff that God has shown me just over the last couple of years, just going through everything we've been going through. So give me a second. Once again, thank you to Jim for putting in the work to make sure we had food, which was fantastic. What are you doing? No, it's right there. Sorry. And just like he said, that it is amazing to see all the kids, the young, just the dads and the whoever you are to the child, just bringing them in and investing in them and making sure they're invested in is very huge. And it's very encouraging to see that. So I'm going to pray again before we get into the Word, and then we'll get started. Thank you, Lord, for today. Just thank you for, once again, just everything you're doing. As I stand up here and look out, it's just very encouraging to see all the seats filled with old and new and young and old or just whatever it is, Lord. It's just great to see the investment that they're willing to take out of their Saturday morning to be here. Instead of standing outside freezing and doing whatever else. And you've just put it on everyone's heart to show up, Lord, even the ones that can't be here. I pray that this recording just has the impact as if they were here in person, and we pray for them, which is whatever they have going on, Lord. But you have given us the resources to branch out and to make sure that everybody hears your gospel. And it's just a fantastic thing to do. So I just pray for the time that we have and just use me to just distribute your words that you put on this paper and just do it obediently, Lord, and just with encouragement. And I thank you and I love you. Amen. Okay, so as Brian once again said, it's the Man Up. If you saw in the bulletin last week, there was an insert that had, which I don't have one, and my plan was to have it up here. But
be fixed. Don't worry, that's been taken care of today.
Oh, okay. So I did not put it on a thumb drive or anything, so I kind of dropped the ball on that one. But the series is called Man Up, and this is just something that God has really put on me the last several years, but it's been coming to light just since I started on my dissertation for HPI. So, which you'll hear a little bit about here, but if you were here last month, I gave my testimony using the book of Philemon, using Philemon. In that testimony, and once again, I was and I'm honored to announce that God is... open doors for a series for the whole the year 2023. So that is 12, to obviously 12 months that we have meetings here and we're able to get together and just invest in one another. But more importantly, it's just, I mean, just seeing all the kids is super fantastic. Because that is the next generation, by the way. So just like the youth is as important as the seedlings room, that's the next generation. Those are the ones who will be standing up here one day. And it's really, really super encouraging to see the fathers make that investment happen. So it will for God's purpose. And it's just really encouraging. So you really, I mean, you nailed it right on the head whenever you said that. It's really cool to see. So this series... will give us as men a viewpoint of the certain men in the Bible that struggled, and with those said things can be applied to our lives today. So I'm just going to take 12 men, I'm going to do one a month, and just dig into not exactly their faults, but also their strong attributes, and just tear it down to where we can apply it to our home. And this is for whether you're single, whether you're married. I grant a lot of my... a lot of my illustrations are going to be about kids because I have a lot of them. And I am married, so a lot of everything in my house, there's never a dull moment. So my kids make sure that I have an illustration for everything that can happen. So a lot of my stuff is going to steer towards that way, but I will try my best to make it apply if you're single, widowed. I mean, just a male in general with no title. Just a male. Like I told you, God put this ministry on my heart a few years ago. And actually, for my dissertation, which I had already told you, I wrote it on establishing an actual men's ministry. So that idea came to mind, and I was praying on it, and I just didn't see an open doorway to have another men's ministry, one that's already here, one that's already established. But God definitely made it happen for me to step in and help with Jim and Dave to do just a series. Just show up, teach, and then just have the opportunity to invest. And that's what this is going to seem repetitive, but in today's world, we need repetitive. We need, because we just don't listen. That's what we need. We need to hear it over and over again to establish it in our lives. And we as men have a huge responsibility. And I mean, not even just worldly men. They have a huge responsibility too. We all have to carry our family, especially if you're the only breadwinner in the house. It can be very stressful. And this time of year, I'm really glad I got to stand up here the week before Christmas, because my teaching today was not only to roll out this series and how to establish those said things in our lives every month and in our homes and everything else, but it's also to help with everything, you know, outside of your home and everything that you do as a male. So I'm really glad that, especially this time of year, because this time of month is very difficult. This holiday season can be very difficult. And I will get into that here in just a minute. But HBI. Sorry, I'm trying to... I got ahead of my notes, as usual. A couple of things that you could pray for. Obviously, for the ministry, like Brian said, Jim and Dave took this on, and they have been taking it on. And you know, they show up here early every third Saturday of the month, cook the food, and then they clean it all up, and then they go home. So definitely pray for them as they take this on too. Pray that God allows whatever I say or whatever I speak. I pray that you don't take it personally, because that's not what I'm up here for. I'm not up here to judge you, and I'm not up here to make you feel guilty or whatever else. That's all on you. I'm just distributing what God has given me to distribute. And but just know it's never going to be personal. If it's a personal matter, I'll tell you, but chances are it won't be. So please don't ever think that. If you have any questions or you're mad or anything else, anything I say, you're more than welcome, and I will say this every month, you're more than welcome to pull me aside afterwards, and we'll talk about it. But I'm not up here to do that. I'm just up here to just shine a light and use illustrations just to preach God's gospel. Give us the opportunity to take that home. Pray for the fellowship that happens. As you saw, we've been sitting here for a half hour, 45 minutes now, just fellowshipping. That's huge. If you want more of that, you can definitely show up earlier. This does start at 8:30, but we could be here at 6, we could be here at 5, we could be here whenever you want to show up. I mean, there's no time limit on that. I might not show up at 5, don't guarantee on that, but it's the intentions. My intentions will be I will show up early, but you're more than welcome to show up anytime. You don't have to be here at 8:30, eat, get the word, and then leave. There is way more to it, because that fellowship is what's going to be the growth in this, not just the series, not me standing up here. We could come in here and talk for another 45 minutes and then leave out the door. We could do that, but it's the fact of... the fellowship is key, just like discipleship. It's all about fellowship. It's all about investment. And just investing in the conversations. And this is the time where we get together, and we can definitely do that. So take advantage of it. pray that God allow or the illustrations, and he's wanting to, yep, and then pray for the fellowship, and then of course pray that David and Jim do not burn the food. Just pray for that. Pray for that monthly. And then, so we will go tarry on to the teaching. So that is the series. That is the series that God has put on my heart, and that is the series that we're gonna roll out for the whole year. And like I said, I wish I had visual, but I don't have visual. But just keep an eye out. Like we said, it's every third Saturday except next month. Next month is the 28th, not the 21st. But you'll see the insert in the bulletin the week before every breakfast. And I do encourage you, please, to invite whoever. Doesn't matter if they're from here. Doesn't matter what they believe. Doesn't matter in general. If they just want to come eat the food, at least they're showing up. So don't be scared. If we have to, we can move it anywhere else. It looks pretty full in here. It's pretty warm in here. So we can move it wherever. Just invite whoever. It doesn't matter. Because it'll just carry on. You know, the more people you invite, and then they continue coming. And that will follow in suit. Just like they'll start bringing kids, and which is perfectly fine. Nothing I have will be inappropriate. Let's just put it that way. It is for everyone and anyone to show up. From any church. I'm not going to bash on any religion. So anybody that wants to show up in general, I'm just going to, once again, distribute what God's Word says. And that's how people take it, how they take it. So the title Man Up came from my wife, actually, as we were writing my dissertation. I think I thought about it. I was meditating on a title for quite a while. And, you know, I had some really cool ones. And then my wife, of course, just pops up and says, we'll just do this one. So it worked out well. But it fits well because that's what we are to do. And also, speaking of that, Facebook has a men's Bible and breakfast link. I don't have a link. If it's on the, once again, on there, you would see it. But it's on the website, so just go on there. And if you don't have a Facebook, that's great. But if you do, definitely click on it because we'll keep you updated. Like, and you have the option to post encouraging things. So if you have a struggle, like it's something you're able to put on there that's kind of more broad than a text message, and not everybody in the world will see it. It's just the people of that group. So don't feel like if you put something on there, it's going to be seen by everybody. It's just whoever's members. So, I do encourage that because that's a good way of communication. That's a good way to use the technology to serve his purpose and to invest in one another. And so since we have that technology, there's nothing wrong with taking advantage of it. So I would definitely encourage that. And once again, thank you. Once again, you are able to get on there and post whatever you want, but we'll also post when the meetings are. If one is canceled for some reason, I mean, it just kind of keeps everybody up to date. So it's a really good tool to use. But the whole goal behind this series is to learn to be a Christian man in a wicked world. And I feel like that is very vital. Like I said earlier, too often we see men conforming to the ways of the world, for whatever reasons, but it's really hard to see, especially over social media. It's really, really, really hard to watch our world fall apart and everybody just be content and just be okay with it, because they don't want to do anything about it. And I feel like that would be the opposite of what we need to do. Which is, once again, why it's called Man Up, is because we're supposed to stand firm and we're supposed to live our lives as this gospel, this book right here. This book tells you. I could tell you whatever I want out of my own opinion all day long, but it's from here. I mean, this is what's going to save the world, not me personally. It's just this book. And I feel like that's one thing that has really slipped away. Is people, I guess in a way you could say they're man cards, because they're just allowing things in their home, things for their children. However, it's a really touchy subject without offending a lot of people. But it's, you know, I identify as a man. So, I mean, bottom line is, I was created that way. It's the way it's going to be in a lot of homes. I've seen personally a lot of homes and a lot of men allow, and I don't, like I said, it's a very touchy subject when your kids are old enough, but when you have 10-year-olds, like my son, who is not in here, can come home and tell me what people are identifying as in school that are in a younger grade than him. He's 10, or he's 11, and he's in fifth grade, but younger people are now identifying as whatever they want to be, and whatever they want to do. Well, you know where the problem lies? Is that the problem lies is at home, and that's where it started, and that's where it's going to be fixed, because it was allowed to happen. Therefore, that's what they do. They just let them do whatever they could, because it's easier rather than saying, no, this is what the Bible tells us, or, you know, this, whatever else, but it's the world. And that's what I'm going to focus on a lot today as a teaching perspective, because the world plays a huge role, especially in the holiday season. And so, if you will, if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians 2:8. So God, if you saw the, I wish I had the picture, because the picture, I don't have the picture here. Does anybody have a bulletin from right there?
Oh, yeah.
Can I get that? Sorry, I can't. Yeah. Thank you. I've been looking for one of these all morning, and nobody leaves bulletins behind. Good job. So if you look, this is what it is right here. So this picture right here, I was scrolling on, I don't even know where I was at one day, but I saw this picture, and this picture really hits home. I don't know if you can really see it or not, but if you have a bulletin, look at it. But it's a picture of a father standing there replacing all these square pieces to a son. So as a father, once again, a lot of my illustrations are going to do that. Oh, yeah. So they're going to do that. So if you look at this picture, you'll see that the father has a lot of voids, but the son is filled. As a father, that's what I try to do to each and every one of my kids and my daughters. I try to fill those voids with whatever I can, because that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm their father. And I do my best at it. I fail, but I still try. So that picture right there is obviously Christ is our Father, right? So that is the bigger picture. I am that way with my kids, but He is that way with His kids too. So that picture, and of course He doesn't have voids because He's always whole. But the point is that that's imparting into us. And so that's why that's why I chose this verse for the series. It says, 1 Thessalonians 2:8 says, "So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us." So when you hear that verse, when I hear that verse, especially inside the church, that reminds me of D1. D1 is a huge investment phase of a Christian growth, because it is more one-on-one. It is way more investment. It's one-on-one time. It's fellowship, just like we had this morning. That is imparting conversation. Excuse me. That is imparting someone's soul into another person. And it's just conversations. That's all it is. But it's the fact that you took time to come here and have those conversations. That's what's key, because it's like I said, it says right here. But also your own souls, because you were dear unto us. It shows how the value, what you value. And I love fellowship. I'm a social butterfly. That's my wife. She gets mad every time we go somewhere. I'm a big butterfly. And thanks, Mitch.
Love you, bro.
Love you, too. But that's just the way it is. Holly gets mad because I will literally just talk to anybody for however long. It doesn't matter. As she's rambling five kids into the van, I'm just standing there having a great conversation with somebody. But it's the fact that it's what I value. I value the fellowship because it's imparting. It's just a small conversation, but it's of great value. So I want to take this verse and I want to break it down to today, to this, especially this holiday season, because this holiday season is really difficult. So there's two topics that God put on my heart and that are fitting for this holiday season. And the first one is traditions. I value traditions, especially because I do have five kids at home and Christmas is very expensive. I value traditions because that will tarry longer, and I'll dig into that more here in a second. The second thing I want to cover is structure. Is structure in our home, because I feel like that's where a lot of houses fail, especially, you know, whether you're lost or saved, you can still have a structure in your home. As a man and as a wife and as a married couple, you can have a structure for everything, and I think that's what lacks is structure. So the first thing I want to start off with is tradition. So in 2 Timothy 2:15 it says, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle." The definition of tradition is the delivery of options, doctrines, practices, rites, and customs from father to son, and from ancestors to posterity. This time of year is when we see traditions come to life. You see families doing things together that were started generations prior. So there is one I want to give a testimony about. My grandpa passed away in July, and he just passed away from old age and diabetes and stuff. But anyways, that gentleman is the one that taught me tradition. So growing up, and I won't tear into the testimony too far, but I didn't have a father figure. Like, my dad was not around. My mom really wasn't around either. And so I didn't really have, like, a father figure to base my life off. The only thing that my dad taught me was how to neglect your responsibilities. And I know that sounds brutal, but that's just the truth. I love my dad to death. My dad is probably the kindest person that I know. But he's just lacks in taking responsibility. And he just wasn't blessed with it. And so, thankfully, growing up, there has been men that have stepped up and that have shown me and mentored me to become a better person and be a chain breaker than what he was. And my grandpa was one of the two men that did that. You know, throughout the whole year growing up, they would take us away from our home because of certain reasons. They would just take us and have us for the weekend while we weren't in school. Every single time. They would feed us all day long. That's why I was a little obese kid. They would give us whatever we wanted because that's a grandparent's role. But he did more than that. Especially this time of year. So whenever, on the weekends, you'd walk into my grandma and grandpa's house. Like, he'd be sitting in his chair in the living room or in the garage smoking. He was in one of the two areas, unless it was dinner time or food time. So there's three places in the house that he went. So typically when you walked in, he was just sitting in the living room in his recliner and watching sports, drag racing, football, golf, whatever it was. He never took his eyes off the TV, but you could go in there and have a conversation with him and he would talk to you all day long. It's just the TV never turned off. And that's just how he was. He was a very wise, in what we would call an aged man. And he would impart into us his soul. He would impart into us things. You know, we'd come to him and say, "How's life going?" And then you explain it. And he's like, you know, it's something that he's already been through. And he would just take the time to invest on advice and do things and tell you things that you might not wanted to hear, and he didn't care about that, but it's something that he knew he needed to tell you. Unfortunately, I do believe he was a lost soul. I do not think I will see him again, and that there was a lot of regret with that when he passed away, because I spent a whole week in the hospital the week he passed away, and the first day he was coherent, and that was the last time I could really talk to him with a conversation. The rest of it was just, you know, he wasn't mentally there. So, but anyways, that gentleman, he taught me a lot of traditions over the years and different things to do because he had so many grandchildren and kids of his own. Which, by the way, that gentleman married a woman and did not have kids with her. He took on those kids. And he took on those responsibilities, and not one day did he complain about it. That's why I have such a high respect for step-parents. I know things don't work out between people, but I have a high respect for men that can step up and take care of a kid that's not their own. Same as wives. Same, you know, opposite way, not just because they're men, for women too, because that's a lot. To take the time to do that, I have a high respect. because that takes a lot. And my stepdad actually tried to do that and didn't succeed because it was just more minions for him to control. So, but I do have a high respect for people who step up and do that. And that's what he did. And so anyways, this time of year, he would take every single Saturday. We would go over there every weekend, like I told you. But it was Saturdays in particular, every Saturday of December. We would go over there, and he would actually turn off the TV for the first time. Like the month of December is when he turned off the TV. Now, granted, the only thing on was football. Nobody golfs in December. And drag racing, you know, just reruns. So, but the point is, he turned off the TV. He would get up, and he would come in the kitchen, and he would sit for the rest of the day as we baked goodies, cookies, whatever it was, he sat on the bench. He barely smoked that day, but he would take that time to sit with us and get doughy. You know, we'd get to slap him in the face with flour. It was just those things is what I want to carry on to my kids, because that's what I remember the most. I love Christmas season just for that fact. I don't love it because of the gifts. I don't love it because, you know, I grew up with a lot of gifts. My parents went into a lot of debt to make sure that we had a great Christmas. And now I look back and I won't say that. So anyways, he taught us that there was more. There was more to this season. And that's why I chose this topic of traditions, especially this time of year. Because in 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast in all the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle." Traditions are key, because gifts, they're temporary. I'm not saying, you know, just because there are kids in here, don't get your kids gifts, but teach them traditions. That's going to tarry on so much longer and last so much longer through generations than a toy will, unless it's one of those old metal Tonka trucks. Those last for a long time. But the traditions that you teach your kids or your nieces and nephews or whoever, your coworkers, this is the time of year to establish traditions or carry on more traditions, because that's what is going to be taught later on off, just like our salvation. So if you could ask me one thing that I fear the most, one thing I fear more than anything in this world is dying and not seeing him again. Or any of my other kids. That's my fear. Because that's salvation. The gospel did not tarry through me to my children. Which that means that's where the line stops. So he can't take it to his children. That's what I want to carry on for generations. That's not really a tradition, but that's my point. Is that instill traditions into your kids or into your family. You know, family gatherings, just the simple stuff of just spending time and investing and imparting your soul into other people, because that will tarry further than anything you could ever buy. And I was staying for, like I said, I don't only say that because I have 5 kids and it's expensive, but I'm saying that because I have 5 kids. That's 5 generations of 3 women who are going to go marry a man and carry on different traditions or carry on our traditions, whatever the case is. That is 5 families that I am responsible for making a difference in. And that's to me, that's huge, because what I teach them now or what I do with them now is going to show later. And I'm really excited for that. But that's also very stressful. So this time of year is one of the times I dread, just because of the money factor, but it's the traditions that we get to either create or carry on and bring up again, like the whole month. Like today, actually, after we leave here, I get to go home and bake all day, because I want to carry that tradition. I want to carry the fact that my grandpa taught me it's not just about getting dirty and it's just sacrificing a whole Saturday to do whatever. I could go do whatever I want to. But it's the fact that I'm choosing to show what then I'm imparting my soul and traditions unto my kids that can just carry on for years and years and years. Just as he did with us. So I will skip a lot of this. So another thing I really want to say about this, because we're talking about tradition, is the world has made this a materialistic holiday. If you go out and you go to malls, you go do whatever, it's all about money, it's all about, you know, sitting on Santa's lap, and you know, all of that is great, but it's just materialistic. It's not like a spiritual investment. Once again, I can't cover that enough, is because that spiritual tradition, the spiritual imparting your soul to show people, not just your kids, but family, in general, what it's like to carry on a tradition and to carry it on, not for yourself, but for Christ and how it profits His kingdom. So we will... I'll skip the bed. So with the time I left, I'll cover structure because I carried on with too far and with traditions. But I just feel like that is very important, especially this time of year. Structure in your home. So the word structure is not found in the KJV, but we see the word order, which is the definition of order is a regular disposition, a methodical arrangement of things. I should have chose one that was not such a big word. But 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, let all these things done be done decently and in order. So a structure is an order. It's an order of your home. My house runs off of a certain structure, which could run off of a different structure for every person in this place. And that's fine. It's not an issue. But as long as there is structure, there is order. There is not. It's not just mad chaos. Like when Holly and I first got together, my wife, we used to wing everything. There was no structure. There was no planning. We would literally, if we just thought of something, we'd pick up. You know, and everybody's gone through that phase. Even after we had our first and second child, it was like we wanted to go do something. There was no plans. No, none whatsoever. We just do whatever. There was no order to anything. After you have three kids, that's a whole different ballgame. You do not do anything out of order. You have structure. And then when you have five kids, all you do, you plan like a month ahead every time. No matter what it is, whether you're just going to dinner, you plan it ahead because you will ensue chaos if you do not. Like every time, it never fails. We plan something, it runs smooth. Smooth as all get out. But then we get invited somewhere and it's just winging in. Dude, I tell you what, it's like putting a herd of dinosaurs into a little room and just watch destruction happen. That's the way it happens every time. So structure is very important in my home, especially, but no different than anybody else's because it's all types of different chaos. My chaos is kids. Your chaos could just be animals. I have no idea. Whatever you can think of. So the way that my house runs off a certain structure, like I said, what you would call an order of operation. Here's our order of operation. Obviously, we serve Christ first. If you want to turn to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 5. See if I get there. So Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, it says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. In verse 7 it says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So that tells me to teach it unto your children and walk in it. And that is serving Christ first, because if you serve Christ first, everything else will follow. The second thing is the structure, a part of our structure is my wife. Ephesians 2:5, it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Well, that's pretty self-explanatory. Love my wife. Which I could go into that a whole lot more, but that could take, you know, a couple months. And it says, then my children. That's the next one of my serving. Is Ephesians 6:1. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So it's establishing, once again, you go into traditions, establishing traditions into your children, because that will carry on further and further for generations. And that's what we're here for. Ephesians 6:4 says, in ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition, thank you, of the Lord. So invest in your children. And then the last is my ministry, Ephesians 4:12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we have Christ, I serve Christ first, then my wife, then my kids, then my ministry. Those are the four things. That's the order of my house. And once again, like I said, I'm not shaming you if you do it differently. That's perfectly fine. But just have some sort of structure. And if you're single, then pray for that structure. Pray for organization. Pray for order in your home or wherever you live or whatever you do, your job. Can all be applied there, because just because you don't have a wife and kids doesn't mean you don't have to have a structure. And especially be praying about that as you pray for your wife too, your future wife. Pray for the structure that will be established, because if you don't have structure, then obviously you will have chaos, no matter if you have kids or not. It doesn't work well. So, just take the time to fervently pray and ask God to help you set up a structure in your home. Give your children, or once again, your nieces and nephews, whoever it is, something spiritual to carry on for years. And as I said before, materialistic things are just short-term happiness. That's all they are. It's just short-term. Tell me, raise your hand if you have a toy that's more than 10 years old. That's not a Tonka metal truck. Okay? Exactly. I'm telling you, man, those things would last a nuke. But that's just my point, is that it's those are just short-term happiness, but it's spiritual. It's eternal. That's the key, because, you know, I could buy him all the things I want to in the world and go in massive amounts of debt to make him happy for now. But then he's going to carry that on. He's going to have the expectations to find a really good job and make really good money just so he can buy his family everything they want. So therefore, you just started a non-spiritual tradition and you started a worldly one, because you made it materialistic. It's not about buying. It's not about all the things that you have. It's just about using what God has given you to do it spiritually and to invest in them spiritually. That is what will be carried on in eternity. That is what will allow me to see my kids the day that Christ comes back. And that is what eliminates that fear. And to know that I did my best with what I had, and everything that I've learned through this building and this church was imparted into my kids, imparted into my wife, imparted into my family. So don't, and I want to wrap this up with, just don't let the world ruin the season, or the reason for this season. Don't let them make you think that you're not good enough because, oh, you didn't buy this, or your kids didn't get, you know, more than two gifts. It has zero relevance. Zero relevance. Because, as they always say, you're not going to take those things with you anyway. So just don't let materialistic things and money put you in a slump and make you think that you're not good enough, because that's not true. God has a purpose for you. And the purpose is not to go have the nicest things and do the go to the nicest places. If you have that option, fantastic. That is great. I'm not narking on that. But don't make that the priority. Make spiritual things priority. Because once again, I could come up with a million illustrations on it, but the fact is, just make sure that your kids see, and especially this time of year, see the traditions. You know, hop in the car one night and just go see the Christmas lights, and then next year do the same thing, and the next year do the same thing. And then next thing you know, your kids are asking if when you're going to go see the lights. So they carry it on more than you will ever know. So that's the two things I just wanted to cover, was keep traditions alive or set new ones, and then pray for God to apply structure in your home to better serve Him and His kingdom. So the last 15 minutes of every month, I do want to take the time off the record. So I'm done recording. How do you stop recording? Just hit stop?
Pull that lever down on the side, slide that down, and then hit stop.